On today's show, we got Ohio State hiring a new OC. We got some Colorado hires. We got a Virginia Tech hire, a Cal hire. We're going to talk about all kind of stuff. That's right. It's Winning Cures Everything. Let's get to it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. And we've lowered prices. You can save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's football. I've been watching it for 40 years.
Are you kidding me?
You're listening to Winning Cures Everything.
Your host, college football podcast. I'm your host, Gary Seegers. The Sunday, February 9th edition of the show. I'm recording this before the Super Bowl. Before that overwhelms the news cycle and whatnot. There was a lot to talk about last week. I've got some things that are being changed around. So my whole philosophy, my thought process for doing a show on Mondays and Thursdays at, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern, was that I would knock it out in a place that I don't think that I can be doing that anymore, which kind of sucks. But we'll see how it goes. We'll see. For now, I might just have to be doing some of these from the car, which is exactly what I'm doing right now while I'm driving around, running errands, etc. And that's the way it's going to go. And so, we will continue this going. And actually, this is a lot easier because I do have quite the commute, and I will be able to record several podcasts. I might just do this every day. I don't know. Like, we'll see how this goes. But it could be a lot of fun. So we'll see. You guys, hit subscribe if you would so kindly. That would certainly be welcome. I took the boy on Friday night to see WWE SmackDown at FedEx Forum in Memphis, Tennessee, and I got to tell you, we had an absolute blast. But I will tell you, if you follow the podcast, if you've listened or watched for any amount of time, I took him to see a WWE house show back at the end of September, and I've got a buddy that's in a band called Shinedown, and he was able to get us backstage, and we met some wrestlers and all that kind of stuff. And in this situation, we go to SmackDown. I tell him it's going to be different than it was last time. It's not the same thing that it was the last time. But he still does not quite grasp it because, he's almost 7. We got a couple more months before we get there. But he believed that, all right, well, when this show was done, we're just going to go backstage and we're going to hang out with Cody Rhodes and we're going to hang out with, Jacob Fatu and all that bunch, like the last time. And I said, no, we do not know these guys. It's not us. We're not the ones that are friends with people. But he eventually caught on and realized, oh, wait, we're not going to go do this. We're just going to chill. So yeah, but we did have a good time. WWE puts on an incredible show. It's huge, and they, of course, broadcast it live. There's stuff that goes on before and after the part that you see on TV. SmackDown, by the way, 3 hours is a bit much. So I took the child to Dyer's Hamburgers on Beale Street after the show. And, of course, it's like a 30-minute drive from where I live to downtown Memphis. So that takes a while. And, it just took... It was after midnight by the time we got home. It was just absurd. He did enjoy his first Dyer's hamburger, so that was cool. His first time being on Beale Street that he can remember. Like, he's been out there when he was little, but now, he saw all the lights. We had never taken him at night before, but this, Beale Street right off FedEx Forum, or right outside FedEx Forum, very easy to get to. It was
it was cool. And so he had a good time. And the show that they put on is just something else. I mean, it's everybody leaves happy. Everybody's in a good mood. He does not like the girl wrestlers for whatever reason. Like, it seems like all the other kids are into it, and he just does not pay attention unless it's Alexa Bliss. He likes Alexa Bliss now because apparently she's part of the Wyatt Six. And if you follow wrestling, then you know something about this. Just bananas. He's into all that kind of stuff. But it was a good time. So we had a wonderful Friday night. Saturday, you know, enjoyed some 75-degree weather in Memphis. And today, as I'm driving around, it is 40 degrees. And I am not a fan of the cold weather. I would prefer that it be 70 and sunny all the time with a nice breeze. Simple, you know? All right, we got college football that we got to discuss. Hopefully, everybody is having a wonderful Sunday, wherever you are. I will have a podcast out tomorrow. I'm going to be doing some more topics that came up in the past week, but we'll get to those. We'll get to those. All right. Ohio State. They hired Brian Hartline as the new OC. They have not confirmed whether or not he will be calling plays, which, if you remember, when Hartline was hired the last time, Ryan Day kept the play-calling duties. I did find it interesting that, of course, Ryan Day, the first time that he gives up play-calling duties, he hires Chip Kelly as the offensive coordinator, and Chip Kelly called the plays, and they win a national title. Now, as far as the regular season is concerned, they changed things up. They did some things differently. You know, they did lose two games, but they tried to play games differently. And they talked about this multiple times, that they were prepping for a 16-game regular season. So if you look at the number of plays that they used to run in a game compared to what they ran this season, it was completely different. So will they continue that going forward? Did Brian Hartline learn things from Chip Kelly that he wasn't able to learn from Ryan Day? And people talk all the time about Ryan Day is an offensive genius and blah, blah, blah. And yes, he at one point he was the offensive coordinator that a very winning offensive coordinator. But when he was offensive coordinator, they did not win any national championships. Now he is a national championship winning head coach, but they did have a different offensive coordinator for that. So that kind of changes things up. Does that allow Brian Hartline to take over play calling duties? Did he learn enough about play calling and what to do in certain situations that now he's going to be able to do what he needs to? So we'll see exactly what that means, but, you know, it is interesting, if nothing else. Definitely interesting to see what Brian Hartline is going to do.
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
All right, let's go over some of the other hires that we've had. Colorado announced that they are hiring Marshall Faulk as the running back coach. That makes three NFL Hall of Famers on their coaching staff. Now, I will tell you, I don't, and they've got a ton of NFL experience, right? Livingston, of course, the defensive coordinator that they just re-signed to a fat deal. He came over from the Cincinnati Bengals as their defensive coordinator, or as the Colorado defensive coordinator. I think he was a position coach for, on the other way around, but regardless, the offensive coordinator, of course, has a ton of NFL experience as well. They're going to have to change up what they do on offense. They certainly need help getting the running backs going. That's been a big thing with them. Now, they have had an outrageous wide receiver core, so that's something that's going to have to happen. That's something that's going to have to change. But the running backs, you know, I don't know that there's anybody better to actually coach running backs than a guy that has just a ton of experience doing it. And Marshall Faulk is fantastic at that. So They threw the ball like 70% of the time last year. That is going to change this year, I would imagine, because the two quarterbacks that they have on the roster are not exactly the most accurate passing. So we'll see exactly what ends up happening with that. Because they, you know, they do have, still, they've got good wide receivers. But Juju Lewis and Caden Salter are more running threats than they are passing. So we'll have to see exactly what ends up happening with that. Biff Poggi. This is topic number three. Biff Poggi has rejoined Michigan's staff in some kind of a support role. We're not exactly sure exactly what the role is, but he is back with Michigan. Sherrone Moore brings him back in. Remember, Poggi was the associate head coach. He kind of helped develop the culture that Harbaugh and company had when they were leading up to the national championship. He was not on staff for the national championship game. I believe he was only at Charlotte for 2 years, but he was the Charlotte head coach, and he's the one that really set things in motion for Michigan to win that national championship in 2023. So we'll see what he can do with this. He was not super successful as the head coach at Charlotte, but he didn't exactly have a lot to work with, you know. And this is a guy that has made millions upon millions upon millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, former hedge fund kind of guy. They did this at Coastal Carolina with their prior head coach, Joe Maggiglia, something like that, whatever it was. But Coastal Carolina did the same thing before they went over to Jamie Chadwell. Now Charlotte brought in this guy. I think he established a pretty good culture. They dealt with injuries like crazy. But now he's going to be in a support role with Michigan. I imagine he's going to help keep that culture going, which Michigan, I don't know that anybody had a better, you know, late November into December than that team did. Ron Rivera, topic number four, Ron Rivera is joining the Cal Bears. And he is going to be in a general manager role helping with the roster. Now, this is interesting. Justin Wilcox, still at Cal. That team has changed a lot over the years. Because for the longest time, you didn't want to play a Justin Wilcox defense. And they had Fernando Mendoza at quarterback this past year. And the offense was pretty good. The defense was certainly lacking. And right now, trying to figure out exactly what this Cal team is going to be going forward, that is pretty interesting. So Ron Rivera, former NFL head coach, he has won a Super Bowl in the past. I believe he's won a Super Bowl, hadn't he? Maybe he just played in one. Or not played, but coached in one. Either way, a lot of experience as a head coach in the NFL. Did some decent things with the Washington Commanders. Did some things with the Charlotte Panthers as well. But, you know, Rivera, longtime NFL guy, now going to be a general manager in college helping out with the Cal program. He is an alum of the Cal Golden Bears, so he is headed back over to Berkeley to help out and try and make sure that football program does not get left behind. And it looks like they're not going to be. I mean, they're in the ACC. The travel is so ridiculous for Cal. I mean, it's almost not even fair what they have to go through. I think the schedule this year is a little bit better. We're going to go through some of the schedule stuff later on when I can actually sit down and have it in front of me. But yeah, I'm curious. I'm very curious about it. Topic number five. Let's talk about Scott Cochran. Former Alabama strength coach moved over to Georgia because he wanted to be an on-field assistant. He was the special teams coordinator there. Helped with the recruiting still a lot at Georgia. He has been very vocal about his battles with addiction. I believe pain pills were his issue, at least the biggest issue. I don't know the rest of it, but regardless, he has gone on tours. He has talked to people about his problems. He has gotten over that, etc. And now he has been hired as the new head coach at West Alabama. If I'm not mistaken, that is a D3 school. But I find it interesting. You know, he decides to get back into coaching after, if I'm not mistaken, I thought he said that he was not going to be doing that again. But maybe this is considered different. I think at one point I heard some talk about him potentially going and being a high school head coach. But now he's going to coach at West Alabama. And I think this is an okay spot for him. Not in the spotlight. Just gets to work with kids, which is what he enjoyed about his job for the longest time. I think this is a good fit. Now, I'm curious what it's going to look like going forward. I'm very interested in... I'm interested in what Cochran wants to do with his life going forward. Does he want to get back into it? Or are people scared to hire him? That's interesting. Now, West Alabama was not scared to hire him as the face of their program. But this is a lower scale, lower level. He stays in the state where he is the most familiar. I could see good things coming from this. So cheers to Scott Cochran for knocking this thing out. I will certainly be more interested in West Alabama football than I was before. Virginia Tech, topic number 6, Virginia Tech is hiring Neil Brown as their offensive coordinator. And I think this is a genius hire. Neil Brown did what he could with West Virginia. It was a strange time. And it's not like Dana Holgorsen exactly left him with a lot in the cupboard in Morgantown. And on top of that, you've got a massive changeover between what was the Big 12 and what is the current Big 12 and whatnot. And, you know, Neil Brown did amazing things at Troy before he went over to, before he went to West Virginia. And as an offensive coordinator, he was really, really good prior to that. The guy knows what he's doing. And honestly, I kind of think this is an upgrade from the guy that they had before. Tyler Bowen was their offensive coordinator. He is now the offensive line coach at Ohio State. Probably should have brought that up earlier with the Brian Hartline deal. But Bowen is a... he was an offensive line coach at Penn State. And he moved up to be the offensive coordinator at Virginia Tech. Now, that's not a... I feel like... and we could have talked about this with the Hartline thing as well. Can you be promoted to the point of failure? And I think that's possible. It's called the Peter Principle. And we see this all the time with guys that you think are going to be home runs because they do one thing really, really well. So Neil Brown, we know, was a really good offensive coordinator. We know he was a good head coach, but he was a good head coach at a lower level. There are some jobs that you just cannot replicate the same success. Troy, at the time that he was there, was higher up in the conference than they are now, as far as spending, as far as revenue earned, all that kind of stuff. Now, it's a little bit different. So, you know, I think Neil Brown can go back to being an offensive coordinator for a while. I think he can do really good things with Brent Pry at Virginia Tech, and then he can kind of siphon that off into being a head coach at another lower level school. I don't think that there's anything wrong with just being really, really good at a certain level because you understand who you're competing against. There's no levels when it comes to G5, right? There are some, right? You've got your Memphis, South Florida, Boise, etc. Those are the programs that have a lot of revenue, that spend a lot of money, and they're always going to be pretty good. They're going to have more talent than everybody else because they're always going to be able to get that. Everybody else is kind of on an even playing field. In the MAC, it's just about whether or not you are a good coach because everybody's got about the same kind of talent. You know, Toledo might be a step above, but that's about it. Which, interesting, Jason Candle, again, did not leave for an offensive coordinator job or anything. He may just be at Toledo forever. Because I don't foresee any reason why they would ever fire him. But you could see Neil Brown potentially going back maybe to UAB if he does well as the offensive coordinator at Virginia Tech. And that would be a step up from what Troy was. And depending on more realignment moves, if Memphis is gone, if South Florida is gone, if Tulane's gone, you know, maybe to the Pac-12, et cetera. We'll see what ends up happening with the ACC in a few years. But that could be a top-of-the-mill job at a G5 conference. So Neil Brown does this thing with Virginia Tech for a little bit until the Trent Dilfer experience kind of fades away. And then I could see Neil Brown going to Birmingham. Absolutely could see that. And then we had an interesting question that I saw on Reddit. Reddit CFB is so good at this stuff. I mean, people come up with questions all the time. All the time. So, the question is, without the 12-team playoff this year, would Ryan Day have been fired? And I think the quick response to that is yes. He probably would have 4 straight losses to Michigan. You miss out on the Big Ten championship for the 4th straight season. You don't win a national championship. You have not been to the playoff. Or no. You've been to the playoff, but you have not been in a winning position since 2022. And even then, you haven't won the title or the conference since 2020. And the last time that you did that in 2020, you only got there because the Big Ten decided to change their rules in the COVID season. Because it really probably should have been Indiana had we kept the rules the same, because Ohio State did not play enough games. So, that's the way it goes. I think the answer is yes. But there's also a massive buyout, and it's not like he's losing to everybody. He's been losing to good Michigan teams. This is the first bad Michigan team. So I think that would make the most sense. Because I think that he probably would have gotten one more season to figure this out. I don't think they would have fired him right off the bat. So I think he would have been around. So for now, I don't think he would have been gone. I think he would have been around for one more season. And then this next year, if they lost to Michigan again, it would have been that next thing. But boy, there would have been people that really wanted him to, because there were already people that really wanted him to. So, we shall see. We shall see. All right. That's going to wrap things up. You guys have been fantastic. There's going to be more in-depth stuff that I'm going to get into tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to find a new way to record this stuff to get it out so that we can get some more clips on YouTube and all that other stuff. But for now, this was an audio-only one. Wanted to hit some of the hires, hit some of the news that's going through the news cycle right now. There's a lot of stuff happening in the sport, always. There is no off season. That thing does not exist. So with that said, let's get out of here. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week.
Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Make sure and subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app, and make sure to leave a nice 5-star review. You can follow Gary on Twitter at GaryWCE, and the show is at Winning Cures. Be sure to check out the merch in our web store and share the show.
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number? Oh.
Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.